Do take a seat. Good morning. It's lovely to be here. It was quite short notice that I knew I was going to be here. But let's just pray before we start. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is our anchor in our lives. And I pray that this morning you would open up your word to us. Give us fresh insight and fresh vision. Amen. Right. So last week, if you were here, Martin shared at both of the morning services about the vision for our church for the coming year. So if you weren't here, then I strongly advise that you either listen in on the website or get yourself a copy of it. And I'm sure you can get Martin to give you the transcript if you can't get online. Because it's really important to know where we're heading as a church. And we're in quite an exciting time. We've started our year of Jubilee, so our 50th birthday is coming up this June. So that's really exciting. We've got our new entrance up and running, finally, which is great. We've got a dishwasher. Really exciting. And so, you know, we're entering a new season as a church family. And a few weeks ago, Martin asked me if I would put together a business plan for the new church building and have a think about how we could use it for our community. So this plan is in the process of going through church leadership and PCC, so there's nothing set in stone just yet. And I'm not going to bore you with the fine details this morning. But Martin's asked me to come and share the vision behind the plan with you this morning so you kind of know what we're hoping to do. So first of all, what I want to do is have a look at the scripture we've heard this morning and then using that scripture outline our vision. So we've heard John 4 this morning, and what we've had here is Jesus meeting with a woman who was a social outcast at the well of Jacob, and he tells her all about the living water which can be offered to her, which he can offer her. But what he doesn't do is go straight in with a sales pitch as soon as he claps eyes on her. I don't know about you, but it's one of my pet hates to be stopped in the street when I'm out shopping by someone trying to get me to buy something or sign up to their charity or whatever. When I lived in Cheltenham, it was a particularly bad spot for it. There was a spot just outside a shopping centre where there'd be about four or even sometimes six of them just stood there. And I'd be like, I want to get to that shopping centre, but I don't want to speak to any of them and sign up for anything before I get there. So it ended up being quite an art form to be able to sort of weave in and out of them and dodge them. And, you know, they always stop you with the same line, "Madam, sorry, can you spare five minutes of your time for me? I have something very interesting that I'm sure you'll be interested to know about." And you think, oh, and you try and give any excuse you can. I mean, my favourite one is, you know, I'm on my way to the dentist, you know. Fact is, you know, I'm in a rush, and actually, you know, my appointment's not for another 40 minutes, but I don't tell them that. But you try anything you can just to get out of talking to them. And, you know, if Jesus was around in this day and age, based on how he speaks to the woman at the well, I don't believe that if he was around now that he'd be one of those people on the street with a clipboard trying to sell people the living water. It just wouldn't be his approach. You know, he wouldn't be that person saying, "Sorry, madam, can I stop you there for a minute? I can see you carrying some very heavy water. Can I tell you about the living water? I'm sure you'll be very interested in it." What he doesn't do that at all. He doesn't try and sell her anything. He doesn't try and give her the patter. What he does is he asks her for a drink. And by asking her for a drink, he's firstly striking up a conversation with her, which grabs her attention. Because Jews don't associate with Samaritans, particularly male Jews and Samaritan women. He just would have ignored her. Secondly, he's asking her for something. He's not trying to give her anything or sell her anything. He puts himself at her level. They're both two people needing water, needing something to drink. In fact, if anything, she's got the upper hand. She's in control of whether he gets a drink or not. And then he says to her, "Actually, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink." And this puzzles her, and she points out, you know, you've got no bucket to draw water from. So how are you going to give me a drink? And then he tells her about the living water, a water which never runs out, a water which springs up inside, welling up to eternal life. And she's now interested. This water sounds great. She wants some of it. And then Jesus talks to her about her life. He says, "Go and fetch your husband." at which point she reveals that she doesn't have one. And then Jesus proceeds to tell her more about the fact that, you know, you've got five husbands and the man you're currently with, you've had five husbands and the man you're with now is not your husband. But he isn't judgmental in the way he says this. He doesn't point a finger at her or tell her that actually, sorry, the living water's not really for the likes of you if that's the case of your life. He's merely stating it as a fact. And in fact, he tells her that she's right. And we all love to be right, don't we? It's a great feeling when, you know, you get told that you're right. And it gives her a bit of a boost. In fact, you know, you're right, I am. You know, and actually he's pointing out this, you know, the fact that her life is a bit of a mess, but he does it in such a nice way. And then he tells her who he is. And then what she does is she forgets the water that she came for and goes and tells everybody that she meets all about him. And that's what we want to do. We want to introduce people to the source of living water. The living water which promises eternal life. The living water which doesn't run dry. So, how are we going to do that? So, if we work from the model that Jesus lays out in John 4, then first, what we need to do is meet the physical needs of the people. That's where Jesus met the Samaritan woman, as she was meeting a physical need, her need for water. And there are lots of physical needs in our community. Martin shared last week the results of the questionnaire that that we've been gathering information from our community from. And there's a lot of things that people want. People want cookery classes. They want somewhere they can come with their children. They want drop-in cafe. They want somewhere they can go and be listened to. They want company. They want friendship. They want keep fit. There's all sorts of needs that our community has. Physical needs, practical needs. And when we meet their practical needs, we can begin to meet their spiritual ones. We can begin to meet their spiritual thirst, their need for living water. And that is done by the building up of relationships, by us being a presence that's available. When we open those doors, there and there, when we open them, we're making the church accessible to the people. And when I say the church, I don't mean the building, I mean the people in it, us. We're the people, we are the church. And I'm not necessarily suggesting that if we were to run a coffee morning, that as soon as they've sat down with their cup of coffee and their slice of cake, that we pounce on them and say, hey, can I tell you all about the living water? Because they'll run away, and the only thing they'll be telling their friends is not to come here because we're weird. But we want to build relationships with people, get to know people, and as we meet their physical need, begin to meet their spiritual one. We want to give people who are lonely company and friendship. We want to give parents who are struggling reassurance and some headspace. We want to give people who are anxious someone who will listen to them. We want our community to recognise that our church is a place which meets their needs. So the idea is, and this is yet to be firmed up, is that we use our new kitchen servery to its potential. But we're not just going to open up a cafe. Because if we just open up a cafe, then we're absolutely no different to Costa over the road. There's plenty of cafes or coffee shops in the vicinity. We want to do so much more than that. So the idea is we're going to use the facilities, so we're going to have coffee shop facilities, but use them to put on various events and groups. So the aim is to have coffee mornings, some of which may have board games or things where people can interact with one another. We're hoping to do a crafternoon tea, which is coming and doing crafts while eating cake, which I think is the best of both worlds, as long as you don't get crumbs on it. It could be bring your own craft and join in, or we might do some community projects like knitting for the shoeboxes that go out at Christmas time. We hope to have something for parents and children to come along to, like a craft activity. Maybe run some early bird breakfast sessions for parents who've just done the school run and can't quite face going home to the devastation that is their house just yet, just to come and have a bit of breakfast. Little Fishes, which is the mother and baby group, is going to run using the space. Alpha's going to be done in the space on a Sunday morning. So there's lots of ideas, and hopefully there's going to be a lot going on. But the idea very much behind it all is it isn't one or two people trying to run it all. This is our building and our space, and it's our collective responsibility to see it put to use for the building of the kingdom. And we all need to work together to see that happen. We're going to need volunteers to help serve at the events. We're going to need people to come and be a presence in the space. And I know some of you might right now might be thinking, oh, I'm so busy, I haven't got time to do that. You know, you might have a full-time job or lots of things in your own life that are keeping you busy. But, you know, if that's you, then you can be our publicity team. You can be the one spreading the word. You know, saying to the person who's about to go on maternity leave, hey, there's a great baby group down at the Church of the Holy Spirit. Or saying to your neighbour who's on their own, hey, why don't you go along to the coffee morning at the Church of the Holy Spirit? There's board games and you'll get to meet lots of different people. You know, that's a really easy way of being part of what's going to be going on here. There's a role for everybody. And we all need to take ownership of this. This is our space that we've put together. And so we need to take ownership of it and use it. And I just want to finish by going back to the whole idea of this living water. And there have been a lot, as we've been doing the building, there have been a lot of prophetic words in regard to our new entrance with regard to water. And indeed, that's what we want to do, is to introduce people to the living water. And I think it's quite ironic because Aylesbury's, you know, the furthest point from the sea, one of the furthest points from the sea that you can get. But actually, you know, we've got our very own source of living water, which is Jesus. And it says in John 7 from verse 37 that Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And, you know, our name is the Church of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is described as that living water. So we want to introduce people to the source of the living water, Jesus. And that's a name that's being considered, and that's the source. We want to be a source for the community where their needs are met. We want to introduce people to the source of living water. And we ourselves, as we do it, need to be resourced by God. He's our source. Trusting that in him, as we step out of our comfort zone, as we open those doors, he will meet our needs to enable us to meet the needs of the people, and that the living water will spring up from inside us. So that's the vision. That's kind of all I've got to say. If anyone's got any questions afterwards, I may be able to answer them. I may not. Who knows? But it's all very much in the process of being sorted out. So nothing's set in stone. But that's hopefully what we want to do and what we want to achieve. So I'm really excited, and I hope you are as well. Amen.